Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Watch out.
Another show.
It is.
More it's games played.
Show.
More stuff watched.
We've done stuff and things and talking about them at you now.
Yes, whether excellent. You like it or not. You have no say.
They do. They could just turn it off.
No, they can't.
Really?
No.
Wow. How did you swing that?
I made a deal with Apple.
Enough of such nonsense. Let's go on with the running order. I'm going to talk about PlanetSide 2 again, because I quite like it. I'm playing it a lot at the moment.
I almost downloaded that the other day.
You should have a look, especially you with your dust impressions.
I got as far as trying to figure out which one I needed to download, whether or not I could download it through Steam, and gave up.
Oh, right. Okay. I think it might be on Steam. I think
it is on Steam. One's on Steam.
Yeah.
Two others aren't on Steam.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, have you ever had a Sony Station account?
Yes, but I can't remember my account number.
Oh, you may need to sign up with ProSubansat to get in there then. I don't know.
It was asking me what street I grew up on when I was a kid, and I've tried everything, including the hard streets.
Okay. Yeah, so we've been playing a fair bit of that. We've got quite a little following in there now, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But first, I want to talk about taunting. Which it says on the old board there. So I generally don't much care what goes on behind the scenes with these games. I'll just play them or I won't. I don't not want to follow dev posts and all the rest of it. But this was pointed out to me by Arcanor there, off of the 3 MMOsketeers podcast. Tweeted it and I had a look. And it was a link that went to the PlanetSide 2 forums, where they are doing something called the PlanetSide 2 Roadmap, which is like this big, let's engage our players in the future design decisions of the game type initiative, which, to be honest, I think is probably asking for trouble, really, but there you go. You should have a clear idea of what your game is and do it. People will tell you if they like it or not. I'm not sure about the idea of roping the player base into fundamental design decisions going forward.
Ah, it's not actually roping them into design decisions. It's saying, well, you guys voted for it when it all goes wrong.
Fair enough. Refreshingly cynical view. Anyway, there's a dev post there called May Taunts. Do you want to read it out?
Jay Good, Jay who Good. I like to think's Johnny Good.
I have no idea. Johnny
and I'd like
Good.
To think his initial name begins with B, yes.
I have no idea who this Jay Good fellow is. This isn't Smedley himself.
This is a developer.
A developer, yeah.
And Rock Icon. We'd like to add the ability to display a taunt on your target's kill screen and play a taunt animation on demand with your avatar. Ideally, we might want the ability to customize a kill screen that allows you to display even more stuff, like a short message and a custom background to go along with the taunt animation.
There you go. So that's the
I can't see a single problem with this plan. Not one point where this could be used for wrong.
Oh, it will absolutely be used for evil. Anyway, there's a mechanism whereby if you log into the forums, you can then put a thumbs up or thumbs down next to the thing. What's the current running tally on that?
Thumbs up. A staggering 172 people.
Okie dokie.
Thumbs down.
Yeah.
And even more staggering, 483 people.
Wow.
Very high traffic forums.
Well, yeah. Well, you'll remember, forums is always an indicator of being quite dedicated to your title. I mean, the fact that
you're being bored at work.
Well, yeah. If you know that the forum is even there, you're probably not a casual gamer of a particular title. So I don't know how representative this all is, but just the idea makes me cringe. I sort of read through this and I immediately thought, is it TTC, the acronym for one of these guiding principles you need to consider when allowing anyone self-expression on the internet? Okay, especially when you're killed in PlanetSide, you'll die and a screen pops up over you showing who killed you, and they're standing there with their skull faceplate on and their big gun. It tells you what weapon they killed you with, which is
that's handy.
That's
yes, most games do that. That is always really handy.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you some idea of what you should be looking to be.
And a good one will show you where he is, which direction he was shooting from.
No, this one doesn't give you any positional indication of where they were or anything like that. And then at the bottom, it's just got a stock number of little comments that add tips to go with particular equipment, and some of those are even helpful in avoiding being killed in a similar manner in the future, which is all good. So then you sort of, once that's gone away, you get the respawn screen, choose where you respawn, you get back out there. So I just have no idea where this idea has come from. Is this something that happens a lot in other online console shooters?
No, because they're not mad enough to put it in.
I mean, I was perusing down the thread and a lot of people were saying Call of Duty Black Ops I don't know, does it do that?
Not that I'm aware of, but okay, I haven't played the latest two.
And some people were saying APB as well, which I can very well imagine does allow this sort of thing. And it just made me really cross. So I even actually logged in and put a downvote on it. I don't normally bother. But I just saw all this and I thought, well, obviously this is going to be really badly abused. It's a stupid and ill-conceived idea. People are just going to be sending out race hate and all sorts in it. And God alone knows what sort of images are going to get forced on you when you're watching your corpse respawning. So it just made me really sort of, yes, I was sort of initially quite dismissive and angry of it all, but also it brought me to a sort of realisation. I thought, not only am I a 37-year-old man playing computer games as a whole primary hobby, you know, and mostly playing with and against other children, but these games are being made by children? It just seems, I don't know, I've no idea. I can guarantee you this Jay Goodfellow's probably significantly younger than I am.
An assumption. I'm not sure you can.
It is absolutely an assumption. I don't know at all. But it's just seeing ideas like this put forward, I just thought, oh, you know, maybe the problem here is me. Maybe I need to grow up and just take up golf or something. You know, maybe I've outstayed my place in this kind of hobby. I don't know. It just, because it seems like a tool that primarily is going to be used to add insult to injury, quite literally, you know?
Yes.
And it just made me think that I don't really want to be playing a game where this is going on, even if it's not, you know, okay, I'm not going to enjoy seeing this stuff on my own screen personally, but also just knowing that essentially these are steps towards turning PlanetSide 2 into an engine for bullying and misery.
You've got to remember that, as stated, that is a completely unworkable idea. It has to be from stock information, stock words. You cannot let people deviate from that 1 second.
And then what's the point? I mean, there are already voice macros in there, and the game itself allows cross-faction direct messages anyway. So if you really want to dig the boot in, you can send a chat message, you know, to the person you've killed loads. I mean, and I just thought, wow, are you really going to hire like 10, 15 CS staff to police all this stuff and deal with the absolute hurricane
It's why it's never going to happen. Yeah, and the feature's never going to make it beyond that page.
Yeah, and I got to quite a low point thinking about all this. You know, this is why I don't play APB and why I don't play, you know, Darkfall or whatever and Shadowbane in its day, and why I'm generally quite wary of playing Eve as well. And I just think, yeah, you know, maybe I'm just too delicate a flower and I've got no place being in this game. And if they add it as proposed, I probably wouldn't last much longer after receiving a few, well, you know, choice angry remarks. But then I sort of was reading down the thread and looking at the thing, and it really did restore my faith in human nature, actually, that thread, because there's about 150 people have taken the time out to actually post, as well as just vote, about what a stupid idea they all think it is as well, for stating all sorts of, you know, obvious reasons for it all. And I thought, oh, okay, well, so, you know, the actual final voting there, I did put quite a sarcastic comment in there myself as well, actually. I won't bother reading it out, but it's just sort of given me a sort of, I don't know, it's sort of almost a problem that is its own antidote as well, because they've put this forward and a large number of players have spoken saying, no, we don't want it, and it's a stupid idea.
I think it just means the system's working. They've put this forward to see what the reaction would be, got a very good no.
Well, yeah, I mean, now it's running about 4-1 against, I think, on the ratio of people putting thumbs up and thumbs down on the idea. So
awful lot of people logged in, especially.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes me actually quite optimistic about the future of PlanetSide 2. If the majority of players, you're always going to get idiots in there who are out to ruin someone else's day, but the majority of people are in there playing with apparently quite a good level of sportsmanship and just see it as a game, you know, in sportsmanlike fashion. And all
I think I've seen one positive comment so far.
There's one or two, you know, idiots who jumped in there and just decided to troll a bit, but mostly it's people not wanting it, which is good.
Yeah, well, luckily it's never going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, it comes down to this, this is the awkward thing I always have with PvP, is there are two ways to approach PvP. You can play to win, or you can play to make someone else lose.
Yeah.
And that might sound like the same thing, but I think those are very different mindsets. And I don't really play to make other people lose, you know, even if it was that good.
Oh, I play to crush people.
Yes, you want to send them away from their PCs in tears, do you?
No, because I'm not that good either.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so that was a bit of a furore and a bit of an interesting idea. I haven't even looked at anything else on their roadmap. It's just this one thing has absolutely consumed me. I don't know what else they're planning. Hopefully the rest of their roadmap ideas are more like game enhancements and features and so on, rather than, you know, institutionalized bullying being designed in at a design level. So that's good. Yes, I've written 5 rounds rapid there. Yes, I started an outfit.
I saw.
Started my own in the end, yes. So I thought, wow, why not? Just a casual, fun, easygoing environment where people who suck at playing Planetside 2 can be among friends.
I do have to despair about certain people.
Most people got the reference. That was quite good. I'm not going to explain it.
Those that didn't get what 5 rounds rapid means, shame on you.
Absolutely. Oh, I will explain it a bit.
Actually, if you weren't around in the 70s, it probably felt...
Does show my age a bit, yes.
Yeah. This is actually, even then, it was still a bit...
The Nicholas Courtney tribute outfit in Planetside 2 on the Miller server, on the Vanu Sovereignty side. My name is Van Hemlock, in there, one word, if you want to get in touch and sign up for our merry band of incompetent half-wits. It's great. We had we've been regularly getting quite a few people on, actually, sort of 6 people up on the same squad at once and stuff, which is quite good. It means I've had to start looking at the squad leader certifications category, which is things like setting waypoints and using command channels.
Why are they following
beacons.
You?
I think mostly because I was the last person to take a step backward.
Okay,
you know, that kind of thing. No one else wants the responsibility. So I'll do it. It's all right. I broadly know some. I have some idea of what's going on most of the time and can explain some things.
You
to
do
people.
Have the tactical awareness of a chicken.
I often issue fallback orders, yes. Well, you got to. Sometimes if there's 10 of you and 30 or 40 of them coming at the thing you're in, you can certainly go for the heroic last stand, but then you've got to carry on afterwards as well. So
you want to explain what happened when you and your tank convoy?
We had a tank convoy. It was brilliant. We got all mag riders out of the Watergate Sanctuary thing, and we went off on this massive great road trip because it was more sedate and peaceful than just drop podding straight in screaming into the melee.
And is this the same tank road trip where you managed to get run over by your own convoy?
Yeah. Well, we were driving along past a base and we saw an enemy liberator scooting about above us, so we're all opened up with the top turret guns. That was quite good. We drove him off and I went to reload and I hit E instead of R because they're right next to each other on the keyboard, and E makes you jump out. And I was in the lead tank, and the tank behind, I forget exactly who was driving at the time, managed to run straight over me and kill me. So that was we had to stop while we got one of our medics out of the third tank to come get us up. I think Sven was on medic detail that day. So heroic, and I keep doing this as well. I really, really need to map E to Alt E or Shift E or something, just so that I don't accidentally throw myself out of whatever vehicle I'm in whenever I go to reload the gun.
Tactical genius.
Yes, tactical genius. It's that level of professionalism that we're looking for in our outfit there. So do get in touch. I'll put some notes on the website and so on. But it's really good. We had a good session last night as well. We were doing the mag riders again. This time I didn't jump out and get run over. That was good. Mostly because I was driving, so I didn't really bother with my front gun. It's quite good. Just being able to have friendly voices on Mumble, you know, commiserating and laughing about the horror that is day-to-day Planetside. It absolutely transforms that game from just solo follow the herd.
It's really not a very good solo game.
Well, yeah, it depends on your own personal skill level, but, you know, it just being able to work as a team, being able to point out things to each other. I had the squad waypoint moving around the map so that people knew where to be aiming themselves at, that sort of thing. It's all quite good. Got everyone in the outfit all trying out different classes and stuff, trying to work out what they're good at and so on. I think Teppo and Torag have got this tag team rocket launching gig going now. It's quite terrifying.
Why am I not surprised they went for the subtle weapon?
They're both on top of buildings just doing sort of 1-2 on the same target and so on, and that really does help. I remember the old sniper days. That was the way you really reaped everything with sniping, because the bolt gun in Planetside 1 wouldn't insta-kill anyone except infiltrators if you could see them, but if you get 2 people shooting at the same time at the same target, just nothing survives. It was fantastic. And that kind of thing can reap good rewards. So yes, 5 rounds rapid. I've set that all up, and if you get in touch with me in game with the chat, I can probably sort you out a position in there. I think we're trying to sort out a night of the week for a proper session. It's all been quite spontaneous at the moment.
Are there any lack of ability requirements?
No.
If you turn up and are actually quite good, are you allowed to join?
Too qualified. Well, I have to consider that. Yeah, I've already issued a no skull face plates rule. I've developed this irrational hatred of it's this cash shop customizable helmet you can buy for X number of station cash, and it gives you this big evil grinning skull. skull type faceplate over your combat helmet, and I've decided that most people with those are gits.
Well,
which is a bit harsh, I know.
But I have a similar thing with skulls, but it's mainly that I've been painting Games Workshop.
It's like they all want to be Space Marines or something. I don't know. But yes, I don't want to see any of that nonsense in our illustrious brigade. Thank you. So I've also written what I got wrong this week, which is a new regular section on my Planet Side 2. Apparently, right, okay, so I've lots of helpful comments here, there and everywhere from everyone, thank you. The engineer can deploy ammo from the number 5 slot deployable gun turret, but it's not the deployed gun that deploys the ammo, which was what I was trying to do. When you've got the little disc thing out in your hands just before you put the turret down, you can get the outline of the turret in front of you. If you push B, then it'll sort of do a sideways hands move, and then when you deploy that, it will deploy ammo packs. So what this basically means is there's functionally no reason at all for an engineer to have slot number 4 with an actual deployable ammo pack in, because you get exactly the same functionality on the item that you get in slot number 5.
Okay.
Which frees up mines and so on. And I was wrong about that. You can deploy ammo packs and have mines out at the same time and all the rest of it. I was wrong about quite a lot of stuff, really.
My pick of the week... the listeners are used to us being wrong about stuff.
Well, I hope I'm entertaining if I'm not informative anyway. But yes, my pick of the week this week, Laser Sight. It's very straightforward. You attach that to most guns that are available, probably not the top-end rocket launchers and stuff. It just has a little laser thing coming out the side. It makes it look like you've got a laser dot, whatnot. It doesn't actually put a dot on the target. What it does is, I think, qualifying everything now, it makes your cone of fire smaller.
That's how lasers work.
It just simulates improved accuracy from having a dot, I suppose. But that only works when you're firing from the hip. So if you right-click to hold the gun up and aim down the sights, it won't help you in those situations. But I'm always panicked whenever I fire the gun, so I never have time to aim.
Is every time you fire a gun in that game a surprise?
A man with a gun. Ah, I've got a gun. Yeah, it gets quite panicky sometimes. But if you're just firing straight from the hip without zooming first, the laser sight will help you with a lot of the machine gun type guns there. I have actually seen it help me. I was running around with it quite a bit last night, and it does. I don't know whether I'm just naturally getting slightly better or whether this thing does help, but it even if it's a placebo effect, it's a worthwhile one. So that's quite good. Also some of the squad stuff. Yeah, I've got the spawn beacon. I'm still trying to work out how that works, to be honest, because you don't actually get the... I had a lot of trouble trying to work this out. You don't get the spawn beacon unless you are squad leader at the time, and you don't pick it up from the terminal. It's just there. Suddenly you get a number 6 item on your loadout, or whatever number is the next one along from your normal loadout. And yeah, you plant that on the ground, big purple column of light, and that then becomes a respawn location for all of your squad. But it seems to do so via the drop pod. So you will be slightly vulnerable, and you'll have to come screaming in from space with the big pod to land on the spot. But it opens up more useful opportunities for a squad to keep together while they're working through bases and so on. If anyone gets taken out and there's no medic nearby, you can at least get back fairly near if the squad leader knows that they need the beacon lit up. And so that's quite good. I'm sort of looking through all the different squad leader certifications for a mere, I think it might be 100 or 200 points, which really over a long span is not a large amount of time at all. You get access to command chat, which is empire wide broadcasts for objectives in the yellow orders square bracket font. So never me thinking that they'd come up with a fantastic way to recognise capable generals and so on. No, it's even easier than getting to command rank 5 in Planet Side 1. You just buy it for 100 certs from the thing, but you tend to see a lot of people using it or misusing it, so that's all right. I don't know whether I ought to go for that, really, because I tend to be wanting to issue orders on a smaller level just for a squad rather than just shouting at the entire game, go here, do this. I don't really think I have the confidence for that yet. Who knows, one day. There's one that lets you request reinforcements ability. I think it's another 100, 200 points, something like that. And that lets you put an attack and defend objective on the map, which the entire Empire can see. And then also in the respawn menu, 3 new items appear at the bottom, as well as the 5 or however many normal ones, which are basically directly created by a request reinforcement request from some command bloke who's put that on the map. So that's quite useful.
Yeah, I can see that would be useful.
Yeah, yeah. If you're seeing stuff coming in and no one's nearby, you can set one of those up and people will just start choosing that to respawn, because theoretically that's where your Empire needs you the most. So there's 4 or 5 different coloured smoke flares you can buy in that category. I think they look quite cool, so I might just buy them and start flinging those around randomly. Don't know yet. And yeah, I think there's one to want to set up attack and defend objectives for your squad, which I did buy and unlock but can't work out how to use. So if anyone of my regular correspondents knows anything about that, do let me know. That would be useful, thank you. But yeah, on the whole, still enjoying it a lot. It's good fun. Just crazy hijinks from a moment to moment that you only really get in a sort of PvP type of situation, you know, where everything's slightly different every time. Well, if a well-designed one anyway. I mean, some, we did a bit of guild, a world v world in Guild Wars 2, and that all just degenerated into a very predictable Zerg fest in the end, so I didn't really get on with that much.
I don't think you get the words well-designed with Guild Wars 2.
Well, certainly the world v world possibly could use a bit of tweaking, I don't know. I'm not sure what I'd suggest to replace it all with, or any. But, yeah, I got a good feeling about the outfit, actually. I think it just seems like a good, you know, good bunch of people. We're having a lot of fun in there, even though none of us are particularly skilled at the game, so... And that's not necessarily an impediment to enjoying the game, which is the thing.
So
that's,
are you on a US or Europe
we're on
server?
The EU server. Okay. Miller server.
So Americans can't play with you and...
Yes, Americans can play.
Can they?
Well, yeah. Well, we've got a couple of Americans.
Oh, I thought that the ProSabian thing was all locked down.
No, I think because they're coming in via a Sony thing anyway. I don't think it's geo-locked or anything.
Okay,
it's more, I think the ProSiebenSat that thing goes on at a billing level rather than an IP address or server selection level. They're not ProSiebenSat aren't running their own servers or anything. They're just taking the money and running the account management stuff side of it, I think. No, so, well, I mean, obviously time zones will be a bit of a tricky thing. We tend to play 8 p.m. onwards UK time, so that's going to be sort of lunchtime, mid-afternoon for Americans who may or may not be at work or school. So, but we're trying to set up a Sunday thing, I think, probably is going to be the plan. That way our American friends can dip in at a Sunday lunchtime or whatever, if they're not busy with actual Sunday lunch, whatever. Yeah, and we'll see how we go. I mean, you know, I can't make any promises about, you know, top of leaderboards or long-term participation.
No, you can make promises about top of leaderboards. You will not be reaching them.
And to be honest, if you're a listener who wants to hang out with us but already is in an outfit that you want to stay in, that's fine too. We got the Mumble server and we're quite happy to set up cross outfit squads and so on as necessary.
Also, if you want easy kills, may I recommend
the NC or the TR on Miller server from about 8 p.m. UK time. You'll probably find some of us. We're the ones with FRR over our heads. Yes.
Yeah, and turning up on the was killed by chat quite
yes.
often.
And issuing very polite taunts indeed. Well done. Well played there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That sort of thing. I can't see people using it for that, really, can you?
No, not at all.
Well done. I salute your ability. You know, it comes up to you on your death screen. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be very rare and few and far between.
I like to think that'd be every single one of them.
Mm. But I am surprised and heartened by just seeing the level of response to the thread.
Yeah.
Where it was suggested. It makes me feel that there is hope for PlanetSide 2. What else have I been playing? I got Enslaved. I've written "Is that it?" under it, right? So almost about half an hour after, you know, talking about it on the previous show, after I got home, I sort of fired out and thought, yes, let's carry on with this. And there was about 20 more minutes of gameplay and I don't know what.
Yeah, I deliberately did tell you by the way, it's going to run out quite soon.
You were very good, very circumspect when I was telling you how far I'd got.
And
I could see you thought, yeah.
You have no idea how hard it was to not mention the ending as well.
The ending. Well, I knew the ending. You'd already spoiled it me because I sat here and watched you do the ending before a previous podcast when you were playing it ages ago. So sort of knew how it was going to end. But very
good.
Did
it make any more sense?
Yeah, it made sense to me the first time around. But I'm not going to spoiler it because some people listening may not have played it themselves yet. But yeah, very good. Short and sweet, you know. It doesn't overstay its welcome, you could say that.
Yeah, it could just have done with another hour.
Yeah, or five, yeah, whatever. Also, Journeys to the West, is there not a fourth character called Sandy who is missing from that?
There's
Monkey, Trip, Pigsy, and there's a fourth member of the ensemble in the classical tale called
Sandy.
And who doesn't seem to show up at all. So fair enough. Did you think they run out of money at some point?
Money and time.
That it did seem very sudden. Yes, they had the end cutscene prepared and stuff, but I was expecting there to be a couple more levels slotted in somewhere along the way.
Yeah, it really does feel like they just had to release and then it flopped because it wasn't brown and was green. If you release a game based on the Unreal Engine, which is very green, it won't do as well.
It's very green. I mean, there are certain sections that are a bit grubby and brown, but there's a lot else going on in those.
Bulletstorm did the same. That was very green.
Yeah, yeah.
Failed.
Yeah, it just seems really a shame. Do you think it lost out purely because people were saying this is really short, don't bother?
No, people were expecting much longer games. It was just different, so people didn't like it.
Mm. I talked a lot about the nuts and bolts of it last week, but in general, very good. It's a, you know, an interesting story, an interesting world, some fantastic design, you know, level design,
the
and character
design. The moment
you
start mentioning that something's based on an ancient Chinese story, they're just going to get bored and say, why can't I just shoot stuff?
Yeah.
Because people are Philistines.
No, there was a fair bit of shooting on the last boss fight at the end there, my God.
Oh, I hated that boss fight.
I got through it first time, more or less.
I just hate boss fights.
Yeah, yeah, but I think I must have accidentally picked the right upgrades to make Monkey reasonably handle himself pretty well in those. So, but yeah, it was quite a spectacular last end, and then that just vast epilogue-style cutscene at the end there, which sort of attempts to explain what it was all about, was very good.
Yeah,
I liked it. It was a very enjoyable experience. I would feel somewhat cheated though if I'd have spent £40 on it. You know,
yeah,
partly, I suppose, mostly because it just seemed to be over too quickly.
Yeah, it really doesn't feel like a full game.
Look for it on budget re-release if such a thing exists anymore. Steam sale, whatever.
Go along to Amazon and buy it cheaply.
Yeah, yeah, but so yeah, second hand rather than first hand, but yeah, well worth the effort. I think I like that a lot.
Like, I'd better go to Amazon now.
I got to Phil now while you do some web surfing.
Yeah. And of course, some idiot put the microphone in the way of the keyboard.
Professionals, that's the trick. Yes, Enslaved Journey to the West.
I've completely forgot what the game
put words in text box. Push go. God, I shouldn't have to explain to you how to use the internet now.
Oh, it's currently £15.80.
That
on,
seems fair. That
Amazon.
Seems fair. It seems like £15.80's worth of entertainment there to me, or if I'm any judge at all.
Well, I've stopped paying more than about £20 for my Xbox games, so I just wait 2 months.
Yeah, but then obviously if no one buys it on day one, it flops, and that's that. So
yeah, that's the problem.
It's the problem.
But then again, I think all games are going to flop anyway.
Thank you if you did pay £40 for it.
All publishers are going bankrupt, so yeah.
Well, that's what all the Kickstarter's about these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Alternate methods and so on. I've written Tropico 3.
Ah, yes.
This came out of nowhere. I was just sat there, you know, it's the old staring at the desktop, what do I play? And I was really in the mood for a sort of city management resource builder type of game.
That's because you saw me watching Anno 2070.
Yes, yes, but I was put off of Anno 2070 by the Uplay thing, which seems really... I noticed it crashing on you as you tried to exit as we were playing. You were showing me some of it before we started.
Yeah, game was solid.
The game's all right, yeah. It's just the nonsense DRM gubbins they put all around it. But also, I remember you talked about it quite a bit on a previous show way, way back when Tropico was new and so on, and you seemed very impressed with it.
Well, Tropico is published by Eclipso, who is one of my favourite publishers, because they will release slightly weirder games, and they also release Xbox games, which is slightly weirder. Like, Tropico's also got an Xbox version.
Wow.
I'm glad people are doing that.
Yeah, I'm just not quite sure how you'd do that on a controller. I suppose they've adapted it.
It works reasonably well.
I really didn't get on with Supreme Commander 2 on the Xbox, though. That was my attempt to play an RTS with a console. Yeah. It just did not work for me at all. I couldn't even get off the first level.
Well, RTS is a different because you need to be able to select troops quickly.
But
a town management sim does work.
Yeah, the town management sim is.
Although you can't really beat a mouse.
It is your sort of standard put together the industries, the resource chains, deal with your bank balance and your income and your outgoing. Very, very much a sort of SimCity style of thing. But it's just absolutely slathered in this fantastic dark sense of humour with it all as well. The whole idea that you're El Presidente running this banana republic and, you know, trying to sort of balance. You can play it as a beneficent dictator, but you are certainly a dictator all the way through.
And, oh, yeah.
And yeah, trying to sort of balance the needs of your people against the overshadowing USSR and US threats to your independence and so on. And
yeah, missile crisis going off around you, sort of thing.
Warships turning up and stuff while you're trying to grow more bananas. It is very capable, very very well designed, well executed.
Great sense of humour.
I love the setting as well. It's just bright and sunny all the time.
And the music.
It's a tropical island, yeah. And the music's brilliant. It's all this like Latin American jazz stuff going on the whole time through. Fantastic. Does sort of buoy you along as you're going through what is essentially quite a dull admin exercise in any form of this game. You know, I mean, obviously the format itself will appeal to you or it won't, but this is a really good interpretation of it and quite a lot of fun. I got Tropico 3 Gold off of Good Old Games, actually.
Excellent.
They've got it at the moment. And that comes with two campaigns. One's called Absolute Power, which I'm guessing is probably a more advanced one, because I just keep ridiculously ruining the first island in the campaign of that without really knowing what I'm doing. I've sort of gone through the tutorials, obviously, but there's a lot it The absolute power thing, I think, starts off assuming you know how to play. But also included is the classic campaign as well, which starts you off on a much simpler task and a different archipelago of islands. So I've started on that one. I've done the first island. That was quite good. Trying to build up your education. That's the tricky thing, isn't it? Trying to get enough skilled workers to get some of the higher end stuff going and all the rest of it. Because if you can import them from overseas, but that then makes your nationalist people not very happy and all the rest of it.
Yeah, just getting that people get that foot up into the higher education.
Yeah, once you get your own sort of set of schools all set up, it goes a lot smoother.
It's $15 on Good Old Games Support.
Yeah, I think they pay about £8 or so for it. So, yeah, that's a bargain, and it looks like it'll last me quite a long time as well. It's not one of these things that I typically am playing for like 5-hour bleeding eye sessions at the end of it, much like a lot of Civilization games can go. You know, you're looking up and, oh, is it morning already? Jolly good. But I'm enjoying the time I'm spending in there. It's just a fantastic, cheery, uplifting kind of game.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if you like your city builders, your resource management stuff, it ticks all those boxes as well.
I really like them.
Is Tropico 4 out?
I played 4? I either played 2 or 3.
So I'm guessing because this is on Good Old Games, it's probably not very recent.
Yeah, I think 4's out. 4 came out on PC and Xbox again.
Okay.
I can only see Tropico 3 on my shelf over there.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, you got the Xbox version.
Which is amazing because I can actually see it on my shelf. On top of a copy of Batman, Batman 2.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're feeling the winter blues and enjoy city management type games,
I would definitely recommend it. It's great fun. Probably on PC rather than the Xbox, but it does work on the Xbox.
And Tropico 3 seems to work well enough. The good old games gold version they got there, so that's the one I've got. It seems to do the job. You know, you get that sort of era of games that used to be mind blowing in their day, but now you can ramp up to all the maximum graphic settings without having to worry at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it still does look great. You've got your own little El Presidente you can customise, and you can sort of make them go around the building sites to hurry people along and stuff. It's good. I like it. So I should be playing quite a lot more of that, I think.
Yep.
That's about it for me, really.
I
haven't brought any mystery objects along this week.
I'm sure our listeners are relieved that they don't have to hear us eating again.
I'm fantastic. I will take any exotic recipe suggestions that listeners might want to hear me try and make. That would be fun.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk for a bit?
I can talk for a bit. Okay, to start with, got a request over Xbox to talk about the writing in Far Cry 3.
Okay.
I won't say who by because I don't know if they want their game tag put out.
Fair enough.
But yes, the writing in Far Cry 3. I finished Far Cry 3 this week.
How much of this is going to be spoilerific?
None at all.
If you can tiptoe around the substance of the story and talk more about the mechanisms.
See, the story itself barely exists.
Okay.
The story is a tourist... adventure-seeking young go-getter, wastrel, doesn't know what he's doing with his life, gets taken captive. His military older brother is killed in the escape.
Oh.
And then he becomes a military badass overnight and kills thousands of people.
Okay, right. And it's a certain amount of willing suspension of disbelief.
And in the end, and I don't want to spoil the end, but he may or may not get revenge against the people involved.
Okay.
It's a simple revenge. Yeah.
So that's like the overall running story. What about dialogue and quest text
It has
some
brilliant dialogue and some brilliant performances. I mean, the first bad guy you go up against is fantastic.
I remember you talking about this, yeah.
He
left quite a... It made you quite inspired to want to...
Yeah, you really do want to take him out quite quickly.
It's a very well-developed character.
But then he turns out to be incredibly insane, and a wonderful performance of that. And
so it'll go a bit Apocalypse Now?
Yes. Sort of. There may be one bit where you're in a helicopter and a certain bit of music starts.
Oh, right, yeah.
The problem with the game is it has these moments of yay, but followed by the moments of meh. Like, whenever you kill somebody important, it's not done in the way I would like.
Okay. It sort of takes it all out of your hands a bit.
And in fact, there's an awful lot of the thing where you're thinking, is this actually happening or is it all a dream?
Oh.
Which never goes anywhere, so don't bother thinking about too much.
Unless it actually is, then that means that's more suggestive of quite disconnected story writing.
There's an awful lot of drug taking and a couple of times.
Because that's that's quite an interesting angle to take if that is or isn't what happens.
Yeah.
Questioning the narrator's senses and perceptions of what's going on.
Several times things happen under the influence of various narcotics, it's not entirely. It turns it into a very surreal experience when you do these things, which is a bit weird. But apart from that, okay, it doesn't make sense. The guy becomes this killing machine due to this mystical power.
It's a difficult
very
thing
quickly
to...
and becomes a monster. He doesn't bother trying to contact anyone and say he's in trouble. He immediately goes straight from never killed anyone to I am a monster.
Takes it straight away as a carte blanche to just go mad and become the law unto himself, as it were.
Well, yeah, but he does sort of complain to himself as he does it, like he doesn't like killing people and things. Uh-huh. But
just not believable.
It doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
So yeah, the writing in it is just this level of unbelievability which doesn't quite work.
It's always the problem, I suppose, if you're writing for a typical video game hero or heroine, is how the hell can you explain how this one man army comes to be? And usually it's the ex-military angle or some kind of super soldier experiment or training or whatever.
Well, yeah,
that's about the only way you can explain away this sort of stuff. But when an average office worker picks up an assault rifle and saves the town.
If you take what I believe is one of the seven classic stories, which is the chef turns out to be a disgraced commando guy.
Are you using Under Siege as one of your classic great storytelling arcs?
Yes.
All right, okay, on you go.
Or I might actually be using Under Siege 2, which is a much superior retelling of the classic story.
Is it?
No.
It's on a train. It's much worse. Anyway, carry on.
You can't beat a bit of Ander. There's Seagal, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway, yes. Yes, but yeah, if it had gone more military, it might be more believable, but yeah.
You sort of expect that kind of hijinks if the guy's wearing a uniform and is part of a crazy out there battalion or brigade or whatever. Something like the Bad Company stuff.
Yeah.
It works. But yeah, if it's just, do you even know what his profession is before he goes on holiday?
He's
like city banker or something.
He's basically a spoilt rich kid who's failing to find anything to do with his
life.
Again, they never quite address any of the stuff. It never goes quite far enough, and then the last act of the game feels very, very rushed, and
that old problem.
There's never any real feel of threat towards the end when there should be. They're trying. But
I suppose how much fun, though? You've got balance, believability versus fun in all these cases. How much fun would it be to be literally a normal person in that situation? You're basically going to have to design the game around very difficult first-person shooter gunplay because guys never used a gun before. You're probably talking massive ammo scarcity as well. The natives on your island aren't stockpiling huge canisters of leftover ammo.
They are, and also in the game...
So you've probably only got, 12 bullets for the entire first act or something.
I never really ran out of ammo in the game because there was always a handy ammo-carrying enemy nearby.
I think the real problem is that you or I, or even you, dear listener, who would be dropped in exactly that situation in real life, wouldn't last very long at all.
I'd go to pieces instantly.
Well, assuming you weren't just instantly killed.
I would have used my tablet to email the embassy.
Well, assuming you get coverage and all the rest of it, but yeah.
No, it seemed to work.
Oh, fair enough.
He was phoning people.
But these are games. These are entertainments. These are meant to be fun. So, a certain degree of wish fulfillment goes in hand with all that well.
Yeah, it could have been so much better, but it wasn't. And the game itself was great, but...
The writing let it down?
Yeah, no, the writing was good. The minute-to-minute writing was good. The overall plot didn't quite work, and the way it treated the villains, especially if and when you do get to kill them, is really, really... disappointing and not very good. And then at the end it goes all really weird for no apparent reason.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I suppose at the end of the day, these aren't just games.
Yeah, it's one of those games which I was enjoying a lot more before I finished it.
Okay.
And now I can't really be bothered to go back. And there's this fabulous open world out there.
Yeah,
but I just can't be asked to go back and play it for a bit now.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a hard one to actually... I enjoyed it, just... I should have enjoyed it more.
Okay. So a certain sense of missed opportunities there, perhaps.
Yeah. Yep, so it's another game finished. So.
Well, you can view it like that. Yeah. Notches in a headboard, so to speak.
Yep. Next, Catcher.
I don't even know what that is. Is that the thing that tells if you're not a robot when you go on the interweb.
No, it's an iPhone game. Which stars a couple of... Well, the studio that made it is owned by Jonathan Ross.
Okay.
And he's also got Stephen Fry to do voices on it.
Oh, right.
It's basically a Temple Run clone.
Ah, right. Little bloke running along, and you have to make him jump as the screen scrolls.
Yeah, but in this, you're catching aliens as you go along.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not as good as Temple Run, really.
It seems like quite an unambitious project. Seems like it ought to be fairly simple.
Yeah, it's basically level-based, so it's mission-based. Mm-hmm. And you have three stars, that's three things to achieve. The one is just complete it, and the other two are extended goals.
Okay, every bit of replayability there.
Yeah, but I don't know, you're always running into dark, it seems, which makes it a lot harder to see what's coming up than in Temple Run.
Right.
So you tend to die easier, and it will be doing a tutorial and telling you stuff and putting stuff in the middle of the screen when you need to, say, jump. So you can't see it coming. Yeah, just not that good.
So your quest for a decent iPhone game continues.
But the thing that really, really, really screws it for them is Temple Run 2 came out this week.
A superior product.
Which is superior in every single way and is brilliant.
Right, so don't buy Catcher, but get Temple Run 2.
Yeah, the running away from big giant monkey mechanic, they made the monkey bigger.
30% more monkey than Temple Run 1.
It is just a fantastic mechanic and a gameplay style that works.
Okay.
And if you want to play for a couple of minutes every so often, it's just fits in, and it's a really good use of an iPhone as a game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I recommend people buy that.
Okay.
It sold a hideous amount in the first day.
It's probably because it's quite good, I suppose. Yeah.
Next is The Cave.
Okay. I've sort of vaguely seen this here and there. Don't really know what it is.
Well, The Cave is an idea that a certain developer had back when he was working at LucasArts.
Okay.
Back when he was making adventure games.
All right.
And he decided that he was going to make it and got some money together due to people giving him money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's made this adventure game.
Okay. Point-and-click adventure?
Yes.
Wow. When was the last one of those? I think it's probably the Sam and Max stuff that... who's doing that?
Telltale.
Telltale doing.
They've lost the license to that, by the way.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, so Ron Gilbert...
But I thought it was just Telltale doing that and no one else.
Yeah,
anymore.
Well, Ron Gilbert's back, so yeah, he's doing it. And yeah, basically, it's about this sentient cave.
Right.
Who you...
liking the idea already.
Who you go and explore through. Sentient cave with a brilliant voice.
Uh-huh.
And you pick three different characters.
Okay.
All with different abilities,
mm-hmm.
and you go through and you have to go off and complete their particular goals.
Yeah.
I've completed it once with, I did the twins, who are the creepy Victorian young boy and girl.
Right.
Who killed their parents. I had a time traveller, and I had the knight. The knight has to find Excalibur. Time traveller needs to kill the person at their jobs. Who was getting the best employee award, and the twins have to kill their family.
Right, okay.
And so you're going through, and the cave's talking to you, and there's some generic puzzles, and also there's a big set piece for each of the people you take.
Some characters specific. How many characters are there to choose from?
I believe there's seven.
Okay, so quite a bit of replayability then.
Oh, yeah.
Do the stories of each character interact with any others, or...?
Well, no.
Is it more generic and then individual
stuff? It's more generic and individual, okay. And in some points the characters will be deliberately separated so that, you know, the twins have to do an awful lot of it on their own.
Okay.
So it's the usual, find an object, is this object useful, how will I use this to solve the...
rubber chicken with a pulley in the middle.
Exactly.
Ah, oh, good stuff.
Awful lot of stuff like...
Say retro. That seems to be what Kickstarter seems to be used for. Is it a Kickstarter thing?
Was it Kickstarter or was it Indiegogo?
Oh, okay.
But I think
that seems to be mostly where that sort of thing goes these days, is remakes of old classics.
Yeah.
Retro.
And it is beautifully retro. And people have been complaining that it's... I don't know. People
what would you want?
It's people complain about the frame rate, which I don't quite understand because I've not seen the frame rate slow down. People have complained that the controls are a bit clunky. No, they're not. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a thing of beauty, and love it. And I've got several more playthroughs to go. There's a good and a bad ending for everyone.
Okay.
And so basically you've got individual sections which... It then seamlessly switches in the specifics for the characters as you're going through, which is a nice touch. So So you start to realise who the next puzzle's for. The time travel one's brilliant. At one point, I needed oil.
Yeah.
How do you make oil?
Did you have to go back in time and crush a dinosaur or something?
Yes.
Brilliant. Oh, it's good. It's also refreshing to know I'm still capable of that insane moon logic that yeah. these things run on. Excellent.
Oh, there's a brilliant bit where, with the time travel one, there's this room where it's a curved floor and a cylinder rock that's in the bottom plugging mm-hmm. a hole,
yeah.
and there's stuff dripping down.
Uh-huh.
And what you have to do is go back in time, take somebody and move the rock out of the way and hold it. And when you go back to that room in the future,
yeah.
the guy's skeleton. He's obviously stayed there forever.
Oh, excellent. That does sound a lot of fun, actually. I'm going to have to keep an eye out for that.
Yes, it's on PC and Xbox. And yeah, it is brilliant and an awful lot of replay. You're going to have the same generic sections for everyone, but just the different combination of people's abilities. I mean, the Knights one. I managed to solve an awful lot easier because I had the time traveller who can teleport short distances,
okay.
which meant I didn't have to open a door
so
properly.
So there's different generic puzzles have to be tackled in slightly different ways with other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's quite fun and interesting,
good.
And I recommend anyone have a go.
Right.
And no complaining about it because it's a point-and-click adventure and we don't get enough of those.
Fair enough.
Next, Anno 2070.
Yeah, so you're playing a bit of that as
yeah,
I come in?
Yeah, I've been playing that quite obsessively.
You found some combat?
I found combat, yes. Yes, I started playing last night again after last week, so still on the second set of maps, and it finally asked me to shoot stuff, which I was doing quite well at, I think.
Right.
I'm less good at getting my economy going.
Yeah, most of your problems seem to concern about the movements of fish.
I was spending an awful lot of time propping up my economy by using all my warships as freighters.
Fish detail again. When are we going to see some action?
I was on an island, and one of the missions has it, so you have rotten fish because they're all being poisoned.
Oh.
And you have to research a way to make them better so you can eat them again. But due to something in the game, rotten fish are actually quite valuable. So I was making a small fortune selling rotten fish, and then I had to go and ruin my income stream.
It's quite a heavy ecological bent to the whole thing, by the look of it.
You get to choose whether or not you side with the ecological people or the technological people.
Okay.
And so, yes, there can be a hard ecological message.
Mm.
I was using wind farms and stuff.
Yeah.
I might have to go with nuclear reactors. You know where you are with a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, yeah.
And uranium. It's mining uranium.
Mm.
Yeah, for transporting without any regard to whether or not that ship was going into combat.
Yeah, yeah. Rather cavalier with your gunships.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. Just about runs on my PC. The cutscenes don't, but the game does.
Yeah.
Also, the graphics engine seems to crash a bit every so often.
Oh, okay.
Alt-tab out and come back in again, and it fixes it.
Mm.
Apart from that, it's really enjoyable. And again, you know, it's building stuff up, trying to optimize
soothing.
Cities.
Yeah.
And
just putting together a system that works efficiently and ticks a lot of boxes for me.
Yeah, you put
the
down,
same sort of thing
you
in
put
Tropico,
down a residential, it needs a bit of power,
yeah.
then it needs something else, needs
they want
the right
happiness,
food,
they need
then
religion,
it needs the right
they
stuff
need
to do,
this,
and the buildings get bigger as the class of the people go up.
Next thing you know, you've accidentally made yourself mayor of a small nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's good.
Mm.
Also, and I blame Doc Chaos for this.
Okay.
And I will name him specifically because he's a git. I decided to take a look at Euro Truck Simulator 2.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I had some feedback from your adventures in agriculture last time.
It's strangely hypnotic.
This one is basically you in a truck going around Europe delivering widgets.
I drove from Southampton to Cardiff.
Right.
No, Swansea, sorry.
You've not made it off of the starter island yet, then.
Yeah. I don't think they're 100% aware of what England looks like.
Cactuses going past and things.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of cliffs and stuff where there shouldn't be, and...
Fair enough.
I basically had to drive up out there, get on the M4.
I imagine our children or grandchildren will be able to play these kinds of games on Google Earth using real live telemetry data. Well, one day.
I learned a couple of things from the game.
Yeah.
One, 12 is a lot of gears.
Wow. Is that what a truck has?
Yeah.
Car.
Two, if you don't pay attention to your gears, the check engine light comes on quite quickly.
Necessitated a lot of restarts, did it?
Three, financial penalties for crashing, running lights, going the wrong way down the road.
Oh, it's all very serious business.
It's very. I haven't put my steering wheel on it yet.
They've got that thing that makes some of the tyres go up and down.
Not that I found, but I probably do.
I didn't even know what that was until fairly recently. I looked it all up on the internet. Apparently, if the truck's empty, you don't need all of the tyres on the road, so you can save yourself like £10,000 a tyre or something over a year by just not having all of them touching the road.
It took me long enough to find the lights and the windscreen wipers, which you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's strange.
Can you read a paper while driving on the motorway?
Yes.
Excellent.
You do crash. Oh, God. The number of times I've just zoned out and...
Do you have a television in your cab?
I've got a television next to my monitor.
Oh, good.
There's an awful lot of following a sat-nav and getting annoyed at distances, and it does take a while to play. It's not real-time, but it still takes it a while to play.
Can you sleep and let the rumble strips wake you up?
The rumble strips do not seem to be implemented.
Oh, that's very important.
Yeah, it's tragic in that. It's just not very accurately England.
Mm.
Southampton did not look like Southampton.
Dear sir. Yes.
Yes, they made a passable effort, I will say, with the Severn Bridge.
Do you think you could drive a proper truck now?
No.
Nope.
No, it's told me I cannot drive a truck.
Has it got actual disclaimers and things in there? Or
No. I just inferred that my ability to drive a truck does not exist.
I should stick to farming, yeah. You can ride on lawnmower.
Yeah, I also did some more farming.
You've done some more of that?
Yeah. My farming at the moment is mainly watching episodes of Breaking Bad while waiting for a field of crops to grow so I can plant the next field.
Excellent. Quite engaging, then.
It's very engaging.
I still haven't quite gotten around to picking one of these up myself yet, but I imagine I will.
I think you're going to have to, because they are fantastic. They're the best games ever made.
There's just some weird cult thing going on that I don't know enough about, so I'm going to have to get involved.
I think there's some chemical on the virtual box or something, because, there's no actual boxes. Yeah, it's strange, but they are compelling.
Oh,
quite enjoyable. And I think everyone should try playing
game again before it goes bankrupt. I'll see if I can pick one up.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone should pick someone up really cheaply from game and give it a go, just for the fun of it.
And let us know how you get on as well. I think between us we can build an entire society of virtual primary profession experts using these titles.
Yeah.
There's one for everything.
Although I'm afraid to log back into Euro Truck Simulator because I didn't complete one of the missions and I think that I might get beaten up.
You don't want to be fired, so you're not going back. Okay.
Yeah. And lastly...
Yes.
I actually watched a couple of films.
Mm.
I watched, of course, Big Trouble in Little China, as I threatened
to do on
the last
show. This is your
other
gig, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, which is an awful film and I never ever want to watch again.
Did the hats not amuse you?
The hat was the one thing that redeemed it.
Told you.
I also watched, was it called Pirates and Adventurous Scientists or something? Whatever the stupid name for the last Aardman film was.
Monsters versus Aliens?
No, it's the
Pirates versus Zombies.
It's the Pirates one.
Pirate Robot Ninja Zombies.
It's the Pirate one with Darwin in.
Oh, God. Right.
It was amusing, not particularly funny.
Yeah.
It had Hugh Grant being pretty Hugh Grant-ish. It had David Tennant being pretty David Tennant-ish.
Right.
Although he was being a lot more Darwin-y David Tennant than Doctor Who David Tennant.
Fair enough. He's obviously a versatile actor who can do more than just Doctor Who.
Yeah. It had Bilbo Baggins in doing his usual bumbling Bilbo Baggins-ish.
That sounds surreal to me. Is this even a real thing? You're just making crap up as you talk.
It looked gorgeous. It was enjoyable, but I don't know. Aardman don't make as good stuff anymore.
Oh, is this the claymation sort of piratey one? I remember seeing adverts for that, yeah.
Yeah, it was on Sky last night, so I watched it. Yeah, I don't know. They just... It's like maybe they'd never actually made anything that good and it was all a mass delusion.
I don't know, the Wallace and Gromit stuff was okay.
Yeah.
They were shorts, generally. I mean, they got longer and longer as Christmas specials went on. But...
And then you start thinking about the films and weren't in the films any good. I don't know. And I've got to stop watching their stuff. Because I'm just going back and retroactively not liking stuff
here
now.
We go. Critiquing 20-year-old claymation.
30 in some cases. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's enjoyable. It's just not brilliant again.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, not enough stuff's brilliant anymore. Have you noticed that?
I don't really watch much telly or films. I'm too busy with MMOs.
Yeah. I've got to watch dodgy French films next.
What's your next thing?
Past the yellow box behind you.
Right, hang on.
Why the Death Star?
Nearly clonked on the noggin by a Death Star.
It is Black Moon.
Black Moon.
Yeah, French film. Seems to be mainly breasts.
Right.
I think.
That sounds arty.
The rest of them seem to be mainly breasts and Nazis, but there you go.
Sounds like art to me.
Yeah, French film.
Okay.
So yeah, I've got to watch that.
So look out for that on future movies.
No, we released that one on this Monday. So yeah,
oh, you've already done it, right?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I've got to watch it tonight. Remind me to get very drunk.
Okay, I think that's probably how best to appreciate the cinema of France.
Yeah, yeah. So well, I think we're actually running out of things to talk about.
We should probably wrap up then.
Do
you want to do your thing about iTunes reviews and how they're important to us?
Well, what did you learn this week?
I learned this week. Not a lot, really. No, nothing's coming to mind.
I learned a couple of things.
Yeah.
One, large American companies are bastards. And two...
Yes, I learned a lot about my future employment prospects this week, which I don't really want to talk about.
And also, if you're in a pub, the filter smoke, the smoke alarm goes off. Sit tight. Odds are it will solve itself.
It's probably... It did solve itself.
It did solve itself. It was weird.
Yeah, we were very British
there.
Brilliant. Is there some sort of cause for alarm? You know, action alarm going off.
Yeah.
People sort of skittering through at that speed that's just short of actual flight. But,
yes.
But, you know, trying to get there as fast as possible without causing panic. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And we just ignored it, mostly.
Yeah.
We are going to burn to death in a building one day.
Yeah. There are worse ways to go than burning to death in a pub. This will be warm.
Do your wrap up.
Yes, you can catch the show on howtomurdertime.com, where you can also comment along and tell Tim where he's been wrong. Don't tell me where I'm wrong, because
I do genuinely appreciate corrections.
I'm either never wrong or the world's wrong.
I'm doing my best here, but I'm only one man and these games are very complicated.
You can also go along to iTunes and leave us a review. You can catch me on Moving On at psycon.net, where we talk about films in ways that may or may not be intelligent, depending on whether or not you actually know about the films.
I think you got Star Wars wrong, by the way. Listened to that in the end. Chorus, I think, is the term you're looking for.
Oh, is it? Oh, I don't care. Yeah. I'm so fed up with movies. No, actually, it's not true. I quite like movies. Sorry, Braggy. No.
God. I think we ought to wrap up now before he says something even more regretful.
No, I'm just really not forgiving Brecky for making me watch Big Trouble in Little China.
Do you want
a
holiday? Is that it?
I want to watch a film which isn't Big Trouble in Little China. I'm expecting obscure 1975 French film to be good enough to keep me in the game.
Mm. So if you know a lot about films and would like to be part of a podcast, please apply to psychon.net.
If you know a lot about films and can tell us why we're wrong all the time, please do, because I suspect we are being very wrong quite a lot.
I think they may shortly be looking for a new correspondent.
No, it's fine. And also you can catch us on various gaming platforms. There is a link at the top of the site.
I put a thing there.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
okay.
About Planetside 2.
Okay.
How to find me.
Yes, so there's some links on howtomurdertime.com to try and find us.
Right. With that, see you next time.
Goodbye.